Everybody, it's Rogelio here, and just want to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online. It is your number one source for all summer sports. So MLB, NBA, golf, and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to you to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including team matchups, player prop bets, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to Bet Online today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts here. Welcome to another episode of the Motor City Metrics here on TigersMLReports.com. I am Rogelio Castillo, and Sammy is Chris Brown. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, where you listen to podcasts. And please subscribe and like our channel at Motor City Metrics or the Tiger Minor League Report, where I just posted. We just have the Jackson Job start, his second start in Erie. We also have Jaden Ham's full start on Saturday against West Michigan against Quad Cities. Plenty of good content out there as well, including our last episode, week two recap. And we'll be recording one live tonight, week three, and Brandon Day will be joining us. Plenty of action around the minor league system and recap. So that being said, the Tigers kick off a three-game series with the Rangers starting today at 6:40. And Chris, you're confirming that there was day games rest of the week. Is that correct?
Yeah. At 1:10 every day the rest of the week. Tonight is Jackie Robinson Day, so be prepared for everybody to say, hey, nice play by number 42. And then, 1:10 the rest of the week, which is, as you said, you know, what is this, the Cubs? But that's kind of fun. And it makes some sense given that the weather in April can be a little bit fickle. But, maybe if people want to ditch out on work one of the days these weeks, go watch a Tigers game. You're playing the defending champs. That's pretty cool.
My apologies. It's a four-game series. It goes all the way till Thursday before the Tigers head off to Minnesota to kick off a weekend series with the Twins. And before we preview the Rangers series, let's talk about the series of the weekend. The Tigers had a split with the Twins. They rallied with four runs in the eighth to pull it off to win 4-3 yesterday. But let's talk about Friday. I don't worry where you start, but Saturday I was there for a little bit before I had to take off. But the Tigers woke up the bats a little bit. They got another the same pitcher DFA'd again. Poor Michael Tonkin. And the offense looked pretty good until Saturday, and then Joe Ryan decided. The Tigers, offensively speaking, yes, they hit the ball, but they struck out 42 times between Friday and a doubleheader.
Yeah, there was a little bit of everything in that series. I think the Friday night was like their first laugher of the year, which was good for the fans, right? They were up 8-0, I think, heading into the ninth, and then Will Vest, couldn't get it up because he was, you're in an 8-0 game. He doesn't have his full repertoire going or whatever, so gave up a couple runs. But it was nice to see they got out early. And then, Saturday was an interesting one because the first game, as you talked about, Joe Ryan was just awesome. He had 20 swings and misses, I think. I think he may have set a career high with 12 strikeouts. But at the same time, the Tigers got a couple chances and made them count. Kerry Carpenter hit that two-run homer, I think, in the first inning, right? And that was after an error, I want to say.
There was a throwing error at Mark. Yeah, Mark Canna was going through first, and I think it was a throwing error.
Yeah, and that proved to be kind of a big thing during the series, right? That was the Tigers took advantage of some mistakes. And, I was prepared that first game on Saturday, basically prepared to say, the Tigers pulled out another game that they shouldn't have won because Ryan was dominating them, but they were making it work. And then, they it got to extras, and you feel pretty good about the Tigers in extra innings because of what they've done so far this year. And they had a couple of chances. Colt Keith tied it with a single, and they had a chance. And I don't remember if that was the time that Matt Vierling couldn't get a bunt down, which is frustrating, right? I mean, that was one of the few times they'll ever call on anybody to bunt, and you would think that Matt Vierling, he handles the bat pretty well, he could get it done. He couldn't, and then they didn't score the run in that inning. So, and then of course, the calamitous 12th inning that involved, I think, a couple botched double plays and Spencer Torkelson making an ill-advised choice. I guess that wasn't the one with the botched double plays. I'm sorry. It all blends together when you watch two games from the press box. But Torkelson made the poor choice of trying to go to third instead of just taking out at first with Alex Lang on the mound. And Alex Lang, of course, then walked in a run because, you know, strikes are just hard to come by with him. But it looked like he was going to get out of it with just one run. And you feel like, okay, in the extras, one run, you can do that. And the Tigers did score one run, I believe, in the bottom of the 12th. But yeah, that Zach McKinstry playing third base, and he played himself into a bad hop, and the ball jumped under his glove. And that was it. That was a huge error. And that seemed to weigh on the team for the rest of the night. The game two was just a snooze fest.
That was a brutal, brutal watch. And here's the thing, too. They called up Simeon Woods Richardson, who's making his third career start. Ironically enough, it's his second start against the Tigers. First one since 2022 at Comerica Park. And he's pitched the Tigers tough. For whatever reason, his only other start was against Washington, where he got lit up against the Nationals. But he went out there, and it was one of those things where it was a classic Tigers. Who are they facing? What are they? Who's this guy? Yeah. With no kind of history. He went out there, six innings, two hits, one run, one walk, and five strikeouts. And the top of the order of Green, Canna, and Torkelson went 0 for 12. So that's not going to get it done. But then the bright side about that game was that Wincio Perez got his first major league hit. He went 2 for 3. And that was something where we saw him play center field and right field, which I didn't expect him to play center field at this level. But
yeah, he was started in center field in that game too, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. His first career hit was like an infield dribbler that he actually, you know, slid into first base and beat it out. And then the second one was a hustle double, although there was some questioning in the press box about if that was the right choice, but that's just the way he plays. But you also saw, you know, there was a misplay in the outfield, partially because, you know, he's just not comfortable out there. He's not a great outfield defender yet. I think he could get there eventually, but he might just be kind of a, you know, he's just not going to be a great defender anywhere. But yeah, that was basically the only fun thing about the second game, I guess. You know, they scored one run, I think.
Matt Manning with another strong start too.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to cut you off there, but yeah, it was. It's kind of what we've seen from Matt Manning. It's what we saw in Toledo, except for the previous outing in the big leagues when he had a no-hitter going, right? But in Toledo, he looked very dominant, but gave up a big, long home run. And in this one, I think he gave up two home runs. Was that it? And otherwise had seven strikeouts? It's whatever he's done to change his pitch arsenal has resulted in more strikeouts and more home runs. And I don't know if that's working out, but he certainly pitched well enough in that game for the Tigers to compete. They just couldn't do anything on offense.
There is another takeaway from this game, too, and that was Joey Wentz. Now, Wentz, in seven innings of work, six hits, he's allowed one earned run, three walks, and 10 strikeouts. There was a lot of things about him out of camp that were fans were just like, why is he going to make this team? But this is why you don't give up on a lefty that can throw with some plus velocity. And I know that, again, I mean, someone look at some of his early season opponents, granted, but still, he's going out there giving the Tigers quality innings. And that's where... And especially games like that where you need him in a doubleheader like that, he finished the rest of the way, saw just two hits, one walk, and struck out four.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I always feel a little bit nervous when he gets out there because you feel like at any moment he might lose the zone and walk a couple guys. But like you said, yeah, the numbers so far are pretty strong, and he's doing exactly what they need him to. You know, he's not being put in high leverage situations. He's being asked to kind of hold leads or – not hold leads, I should say, but when they're in a deficit, keep that deficit where it is. And he's done a good job with that so far.
Yeah. And again, you got to give credit to, I give, and by the way, AJ Hinch with his 800th win on Sunday. This is where Hinch really strives in, is putting his bullpen in situations where he gives them a test. And if they pass the test, it's almost like they'll complete themselves or complete some sort of level of graduation and get a harder test and get challenged more. And I think that's the case with him. And it's also the case with Alex Lang, which unfortunately Lang has been with mixed results, but also I also feel the same way with Will Vesta in certain cases too.
Yeah. Hinch has done a great job with the bullpen all year, like you said, and most of the time it works out well. In that first Twins game on Saturday, it backfired when Shelby Miller gave up a home run to Ryan Jeffers, who was kind of a Tigers killer all weekend. But for the most part, yeah, he's using guys where they can play to their strengths. And, you know, like I think you mentioned, like Vest isn't getting a ton of high leverage opportunities right now. I don't think they're against using him in that spot, but that's just the role he has. And same with Fiedo. They've been using him in some high leverage situations. I think they're a little bit more comfortable there because of that slider and the swing and miss. But yeah, Hinch does a great job of planning these things out and getting guys in when they can succeed. And I think for the most part, early in the season, it's worked. I think Hinch has won the Tigers a couple of games with the platooning, which he talked about in that press conference you were at, and with the bullpen usage. But, you know, it's going to get noticed when it backfires, and that's just baseball. Sometimes it does.
Yeah, and I mean, Twins are before the, I believe it was before the Friday game, that Carlos Correa is going to be on the IL for a while. This team is hurt, and also I was looking at some of the play from Edward Julian, who's just, man, like, oof, brutal. I mean, the Twins, to me, they still represent a threat because I thought Austin Martin, despite, I mean, I thought he had a pretty weekend, good series in terms of striking the ball pretty well, and it kind of showed why people were so high up on him in the draft. Because as you recall, somebody I thought the Tigers should have perhaps took a draft a flyer on, the or not flyer, but drafted that high. But it was a case where they caught the Twins in a situation where they had been using St. Paul on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, they've been injured like crazy. And I saw some smart commentary about how the Tigers were able to take advantage of that. Just not even like, you know, something smart that they did. It was just that the Twins were trying to use lower members of their bullpen. And, you know, they lost Carlos Correa, so they had to play Willie Castro at shortstop, and that cost them. And then Caleb Thielbar came in and gave up that huge home run to Javi Baez on the Sunday game, which was kind of the first needle prick in what ended up being, a big comeback for the Tigers. And one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit was just when you try to notice things like that, just trends and what we saw in the second game on Saturday, which was, again, a terrible game, but Javi Baez hit the ball hard three times, like really hard. Make good contact. At one point, I thought he had a home run, but he got it just a little too high in the air. And so what you're thinking is, like, okay, he seems to be dialing in a little bit. And sure enough, you know, he gets a favorable matchup in the next game and hits a home run. So you just try to look for those things. And I am, I guess, hopeful. Spencer Torkelson had he's off to a brutal start, hitting a lot of pop-ups and just not solid contact. But he had a couple great at-bats on Sunday. And ended up getting the game-winning RBI. But before that, I think he had worked like an 11-pitch double, something like that. And you're hoping that is a sign right there that he's going to start to lock in. We'll look for that in the coming days. And we see it in the minors, too. We don't need to go off on a tangent here. And I was worried about Max Clark that first week because he was having trouble with fastballs. Last couple games, his big two-run double was on a fastball, 96 miles an hour, pulled it down the line. And then yesterday, even a harder fastball, and he yanked it. Unfortunately, the first baseman caught it, but it was 100-mile exit velocity on a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. Right, you know, he pulled it. So that's a good sign there. And then on the opposite end is Justice Bigby has been struggling, but just the last couple of days started hitting the ball really hard to right center again, and he's starting to pay off. So just looking for trends, and so you're hopeful for Torkelson there.
You're hoping, too, that even they took advantage of Miranda, who at that play at third, that was a tough play either way, but Jose Miranda, you know, he's been,
was it, which one was that? Was that the
Marcana?
Was that Miranda or was it Farmer? I thought they had brought in Farmer.
You're right. It was Farmer. I'm sorry. I was thinking,
but I do think Miranda made a mistake earlier in the series.
I was thinking it was Saturday I'm thinking of then, or was it Friday? I can't remember. I just thought he didn't have a good weekend overall at third.
No, I mean, we remember seeing him back in 2021 down in Toledo or whatever, and it's like, well, it might, he seems like a first baseman being asked to play third, I think. But yeah, the Canna hit or play was actually ruled a hit, which I was kind of surprised, but hometown cooking. I guess they said it was, you know, because it was a short hop and it didn't hit his glove, I don't think. So, yeah. Canna will take that for sure, and the Tigers will. But yeah, overall, you know, it was, you don't feel too bad, I guess, the way it worked out. They probably should have won one of those games on Saturday and probably shouldn't have won Sunday. But you take the two-game split against the favored team in the division, and you move on. You know, they still have a winning record. Now they're going to play a really, really good offense. But fortunately, Texas's rotation is a little bit, I know they're a little bit banged up. They're not quite as good as they could be right now. They still have some good pitchers. I think that they're going to face Michael Lorenzen tonight, I believe.
Yep, that's correct.
And the rest of the week is TBD, but you're probably getting what, like John Gray and Day Dunning and Andrew Heaney, maybe Nathan Eovaldi. I don't know what their rotation is, but there's some options there. So, but you just, it's not a great matchup right now for the Tigers because the offense isn't clicking, but maybe you're catching the Rangers at the right time.
This whole entire elephant in the room with Wyatt Langford being out there. And so that's going to be a talked about subject, unfortunately. But I wanted to play what Javi Baez said after the game too, because I thought it was important for the context of, I mean, this guy's had a brutal start. It was 1-for-23 to start. It just been absolutely brutal. He's been getting booed. A lot of easy locale jokes. Just, you know, you always see the memes on Twitter with him swinging at bad pitches. Again, this is what you've inherited before. Again, I understand where the lock is of pointing this out over and over and over again. But what I thought he said was fine. I thought he was what he said, and this guy has every right to defend himself.
It's been frustrating, to be honest. You know, I've been trying my best for 2 years, if you want to say it like that. You know, for me, I only care about staying healthy. You know, and if I'm healthy, I got no excuses to do good. And when I do good, you know, everybody's happy. So hopefully I keep getting better every day and I keep seeing the ball better.
Does the negativity affect you? I mean, I know there's been times this year where you've been booed after striking out or recording an out by the fans. Does that sort of stuff affect you at all? Or
not really. I mean, I've been booed pretty much my whole career. And you know, I know it's frustrating for the fans, but I think that doesn't really help the team and the organization. I think if we grind together, we should stand up together. We should stay together when we're down. So it's not only here, you know, it's happening in other organizations with other players. So it doesn't affect me, to be honest. And I don't think it's really respectful when people talk trash and disrespect you behind a net, you know, that they can say anything. So doesn't affect me, to be honest, and I'm just worried about playing good, you know, and doing good for my team and my organization. So they can do whatever.
There you go. And that was the audio. It was courtesy of Bally Sports Detroit. And Rieger with a good question there. Jeffrey, you're from 97 on the ticket. I'm at follow up there, and he's absolutely right. I mean, we were dealing with, and it's so weird because on the same day we saw a tweet where, or rather, well, it was Tigers Turmoil and a couple other people that were posting a picture of Max Clark with two different shoe colors, one being the positive comments he's received and the others from people on Twitter. And this is not new. We all know that, you know, the keyboard warrior element exists. You're there, or
I am.
Okay, all right. I didn't see your image. Yeah, just like, okay. So I just didn't see your image. So for the record, it just came up black. So sometimes when it comes up that way, I have no idea whether you're on or not. So
it's dark.
My apologies. No, but to finish my point, then I'll get you chime in on what you thought about the series. One of those things that we've talked about this. It is so easy to be a keyboard warrior and behind that and go there. And there's some accounts out there like who post their quote unquote L or W's when they call out a radio station or whatever that is. It's so bizarre to me that you have that kind of flex out there. If that's the way you want to celebrate your stuff, fine. I mean, could Chris and I go and celebrate all our W's about our prospects and L's? Sure. We could do that. You know, like we could see how right we were, how wrong we were, and so be it. But no one cares at the end of the day. Really, no one cares. But it is unfortunate for Baez because, yes, defensively done well. And Chris, you were talking about this on your Good and Bad and Ugly on Thursday. The offensive numbers have just been bad. He hasn't even drawn a walk either. But that's not his game. That is not his game at all. That being said, it is Ilya Torkelson. You're talking about his at bats, Chris. One of the things that I noticed too was that loop that single. I think shows kind of like he was much more aware of just putting the ball out somewhere to get something going. And I think it's some sort of sign of progress with that. And for Baez too, like that it could be the start of something. I don't know, but you look at the options, and I wrote an article for this Mercy Bengals. Tigers don't really have any other alternative but to play Baez. Whether you like it or not, the Tigers are not gonna make that trade. Like they're not gonna make it's not a video game. The Tigers are just gonna deal with what they have. And it's the same kind of answer with Parker Meadows. People are like, well, Parker Meadows is bad. I mean, Parker Meadows is off to a terrible start. Let's not kid ourselves here. What are the alternatives? Justin Amendola, well, he's not on the 40-man roster. Well, what about Justice Bigby? He can't play center field.
Also not on the 40-man.
Also not on the 40-man. Exactly.
Yeah. It's Akil Badu.
Yeah. And then, well, Akil Badu, okay, you can maybe swamp that out. That's fine. But, again, it is the difference between Toledo and everything. And I think we do a good job trying to keep things realistic and not feed into that sometimes or feed into that anger. And fans have every right to be frustrated. But I thought what Baez says was perfectly fine. He has every right to be pissed. I mean, not pissed, but just it's water off. You could tell it does affect him a little bit, but at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I want to get you up in here in a second, but I just I understand. I obviously understand the fans. Baez has not produced offensively since he came here. He's been below average player and well below average. And I understand the frustrations from fans. I also understand what Baez is saying. Is it like, well, okay, you can boo me. It doesn't really help. I fans are fickle. And to that point, and then before, and then I'll let you get in. You mentioned Parker Meadows. I can't tell you how many times we got, after posting Parker Meadows clips from the minors last year, got people saying, call him up. He probably was the most call him up player all last season. And he came up and for
minus,
140.
Minus Colt Key.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're probably right. And then there's 140 plate appearances in the big leagues and he looked solid. Mm-hmm. And now 40 plate appearances into this year, everybody's like, send him down. It's like, you guys settle down. All right. You know, we post a highlight of Malloy or Young and they say, call him up. And it's like, okay, well, Young's got like a 38% strikeout rate right now, but people don't notice that or read about it. But so, yeah, that's just, I don't know. I feel like fans would love Javi Baez if he produced. I think he's the sort of player that they could really get behind. They just need him to produce and then they'll start liking him. And with that, Yoop, what do you have to say?
Well, I agree with that point completely. If Javi Baez was just hitting, let's say, 241, right? Just pick a number out of the hat. So he'd be contributing. He'd be doing those quick slap tags, running the bases good, making some flashy plays in the field. He would be a fan favorite. It just boils down to when is he going to hit? Is he going to hit? Yesterday, he showed he has the power left in the tank. Can he start to access a little bit? I've seen a lot of people, I think correctly, saying it's not so much the waving at the sliders, because he's done that forever. He is not hitting fastballs. And not being able to hit the fastball is no way to get through life, son. You know, that's not going to make it for Major League Baseball. But with this contract and everything else and the injuries and the minor, there's no one else. He's going to play. And, you know, let's face it, they're 9-6. They're doing okay. Even with all these problems with Parker Meadows and others, Torkelson being off to a slow start, they're hanging in there. They're doing just fine. They're showing the power of 3-2, right? 9-6, they've gone 3-2 three times. And that's a 97 win pace. Not that they're going to win 97 games. I don't believe that. But they're playing perfectly acceptable baseball right now on the results column, right? So I think everybody just kind of needs to take a deep breath and let this play out. Certainly they could go, you know, they could easily go 2-4 this week against the Rangers and the Twins, at the Twins. And if that happens, then you adjust. But right now the results are good and you just kind of keep moving on. And if they go 3-2 this week, I'd be perfectly happy.
Yeah, especially when you look at the rest of the schedule coming up after Minnesota. You have to go to Tampa. Then you host the Royals. You have the Missouri series. You host the Royals, then the Cardinals. And you get to see right now the Royals, ladies and gentlemen, are in just a half a game back of first place. And they lead.
They're an offensive juggernaut right now.
But they also, I think, are among the top five in ERA, which is wild to me. But they did something very similar to they built their rotation off free agency. I mean, it's something that we don't see teams do often. I mean, it was 1 year, 2 year deal. I think some of those deals were kind of short term deals, but pitchers that have seen some high mileage pitchers, if you will, and they've been able to survive. And meanwhile, the biggest thing about this upcoming schedule for the Tigers too, Tigers always play weird in Minnesota. It doesn't matter if it's the Metrodome or Target Field. I don't know what it is about. And I'll be there next week for work, non-baseball purposes. I'll be in St. Paul for a week, staying at a casino.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's going to be – it'll be interesting, too. But, nevertheless, you're looking ahead a little bit here. You have the – but let's – I mean, we can start with the Rangers. Rangers right now are in a weird place. They're 8-8 in the division. They're off to a slow start. But that whole West, the whole West right now is bizarre. I mean, you look at Houston right now has been playing some really just – Houston hasn't been playing consistently at all. They've been getting some good pitching, but their offense has been hit or miss, more miss than anything. But this is defending World Series champs. You have guys like Jonah Heim, who is one – I love that guy. I love him as a catcher. I just – something about him just going and grinding out of at-bats, he's just a – He's a fun player to watch. You still have good. You have Marcus Semien, who's a very above average defensive player at second base, done a very good job. And you also, I mean, Aroldis Garcia has something. You know, he's just continuing to get better every year. He's batting off to a good start, 328. But it doesn't matter. I mean, the Rangers have, but the one person that we're talking about earlier, Wyatt Langford. That's going to be all eyes on him, because between the Tiger minor league report, I mean, take away from us doing social media for a moment. Wyatt's been talking about rookie of the year. There's been talk about that. He tore the cover off the ball in a short period of time in the minor leagues. But I don't know. What are the three things what are the three things you're looking forward to in this series? I'm looking forward to seeing one. I'm looking forward to see what the Rangers have with Langford. Two, I'm also with the rotation being kind of like this it's not necessarily hodgepodge, but Corey Bradford's on the IL now, so that kind of changes up a little bit. And I'm also seeing how they also it's funny, but I never thought in a million years I would see this guy pitch again, and that's Jose Urena.
Yeah.
He's back. back. And he's part of a bullpen that is horrible. So those are kind of some of the things I'm interested in.
I'm looking forward to watching Wyatt Langford. Getting, I watched a lot of tape on him, video on him on when he was at Florida. Earlier in the spring, I said, he still hasn't hit a real home run in the majors. And guess what? He still hasn't hit a real home run in the majors. So everybody thought he was going to dominate. It would be crazy, of course, if he really busted out against the Tigers. That would be, all the Max Clark, Wyatt Langford people would really have a lot to crow about. But so far, he's just been okay. It's still pretty impressive that he went from the draft basically to the majors that quickly. Also looking forward to watching Evan Carter. He's probably a prospect right up there in the Langford range. Good young player, pretty exciting. So the Rangers bring a lot of talent. It should be a good series. If the Tigers can just take two, I think that would be fine. And that would be a pretty good week. A lot of day games, unfortunately, with work, won't see too many of them. But be listening as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see what the Tigers pitchers can do against this Rangers offense. Now they're down Josh Young, which helps a little bit. But we talked before, they still have Nolas Garcia, they still have Seager and Semien, and it's a really potent offense. And the thing is, they don't strike out very much at all compared to other big league teams, and they walk a ton. So it's going to be really important for the Tigers to continue playing good defense. I think there's going to be a lot of balls in play and men on base. So gotta stick with that. And then, I'd like to see And one of the things, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, Baez missing fastballs, that's no way to go through life. Well, that's the Parker Meadows issue right now too, in a nutshell. He's missing everything, but it's mainly fastballs. He's a guy who hit fastballs last year in the minors, hit fastballs last year in the majors. His average, or his, yeah, he hit like 260 against 96 mile an hour velocity last year in the minors and the majors. And this year he's late on 92. He's late on 91. He's just late on everything. So you really hope that they can get something going there, because he can be a catalytic player for the team, but he has to be putting the ball at play. And, you know, he's getting on base and stuff. So I'd look for him to maybe break out a little bit in this week. I mean, you hope so. They're facing, we got Lorenzen tonight, right? Michael Lorenzen, old friend. I think it's his first start of the year. You hope, yep, that maybe he's a little rusty there and they could take advantage of that. And then after that, it's TBD. But I want to say that Eovaldi pitched yesterday. Is that right? So they may miss him, which would be nice. But then it's, you know, Dunning and Gray. Is that, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, I'm, yeah, because they're, yeah. Nathan pitched, yeah. He pitched on Sunday, correct. And Gray pitched on Thursday.
So they'll probably get Gray. But
Dunning, you know, and then Dunning pitched on Friday. So probably Dunning or Gray and Dunning the last 2 days. Sorry.
Yeah.
It would be about right.
Yeah, but it's I mean, it's going to be a challenge. This is really the first good team the Tigers have played. You know, you can say what you want about Minnesota. They won a division last year, but they're kind of somewhere between average and slightly above average. And with all their injuries, they're probably below average. So this will be a real test for the Tigers. Maybe they, you know, step up to it. You know, maybe finally facing that, maybe they lock in a little bit more. And I'd like to see them work the counts more. Everybody but Meadows. I want to see Meadows attack pitches early in the strike. But I'd like to see more of that torque, you know, long at bats and patience, a little bit more of that from Green and Carpenter. And it could also very well be Colt Keith's breakout series, as we talked about, you know, Langford. These young hitters, it takes them a while to get comfortable. And we saw Colt Keith almost hit a home run on Saturday. I think that may have been game two, where it was a Comerica Park fly ball, yeah, to deep center that he hit 400 plus feet. And I think it's coming. He's a guy that's, I think, conscious right now of not, you know, giving away at bats and not striking out. And I think he'll get to a point where he's ready to, you know, launch. And it could be this week, could be another month from now, but I think it's coming.
And I thought he did a really good job of doubling off. They made a really good play against Manuel Margot. Is it Margot? No, Margot, correct?
Yeah. Margot, yep. Yeah, I mean,
Margot, yeah, that was a good play.
There's nothing to complain about Colt Keith's defense and base running and all that stuff. He's been far better than I think even, I mean, we've always loved Colt Keith, and I didn't think he was going to be this good defensively. So if he can stick with this and start hitting, I mean, you know, we used to talk about, like, yeah, he's probably going to be capped out as like a 3-4 win player because if it's going to be all bat. But if he's hitting the way we think he can and playing solid defense, I mean, it's, There's a much higher ceiling there than I expected.
It has been pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know what? And somebody mentioned, I think it was Tigers Jed UK on Twitter, mentioned a Chase Utley comp. And you know what? That's look, if he ends up like Chase Utley, that's fine by me. I mean, the one thing about him that when he goes out there is everything's like a professional at bat. He had a couple of hits, I believe, in game one or game two. I think it was game one, a doubleheader. And he is getting better and better at, just in terms of even the situational hitting too. There's nothing bad you can say. I mean, the batting average aside, but ignore that for a moment. This is a guy who, and Chris, you said this in the press box, and we've talked about this. Give the guy 3 or 4 weeks, he'll make an adjustment, and I think that's going to happen. And it's been happening at the major league level, and that's something that there's very few players that we've seen over the last 6 years, we've seen in the minor league side of things, but overall that we've able to see, or that we've been able to watch, that have that kind of approach to the play like Colt Keith. And it's saying that high praise, because I don't try to say that about a lot of the guys. I mean, we've seen guys come and go, and we're like, but Colt Keith is, to me, truly unique, and just doing the little things he can to be part of it. Like, he is, if you talk about baseball junkie, he's the true definition of that. And But on the lines too, you have another guy like that in Texas, of Corey Seager, who has a walk rate near his strikeout rate. I mean, his strikeout rate is in the teens, like 16%. His walk rate is around 13. Corey Seager is one of my favorite players to watch outside of Detroit because he takes really good at bats. I mean, he works the count and he's just really good at just, it was something I just feel like he's evolved so much since he left LA. I don't know about you gentlemen, but I feel like he has become a much better, well-rounded player since he got to Texas.
Oh, there's no question. Last year, I mean, with Texas in contention, we got to watch a lot of baseball with them. And as you mentioned, just every at-bat was like a war. You know, he did not give any away to the pitcher. Pitchers had to hate the sight of seeing him come up. He's just an impressive ball player. Would love to be a fly on the wall back in the Avila days when they were, you know, looking at all those free agent shortstops. What was the opportunity to get Corey Seager? Was there any? Would be fascinating to know, and we'll obviously never know.
Yeah, I mean, there was a great article last year, I think, in Baseball Prospectus about how Corey Seager is number one in baseball, kind of by a significant margin, in swinging at pitches that you should swing at. Basically, he attacks everything in the strike zone, and he hits it hard, and that's a great skill to have. And so, yeah, I mean, he's. I think you picked him to be MVP this year.
Yes.
I picked him to be MVP last year, and he came pretty close. But, yeah, I mean, he's one of the better. It is interesting. I used to always compare him with Carlos Correa, partially because of fantasy implications, but also they sort of came up around the same time, same age. And Correa has been solid, but never really came close to that full MVP season, I don't think. And Seager has been much more consistent after. Seager had injury troubles early in his career, and now Correa is having him later, which is sort of more common path. But one thing, just doubling back to Colt Keith real quick. One thing, I was just checking his Savant page, and the big issue right now, he's not hitting and not hitting for power. His batting average is .208 and his slugging is .226. But based on his contact, his expected batting average is .270. His expected slugging is .420. So he's, you know, 70 points of average or 60 points on average and 200 points in slugging. And that's he's not hitting the ball super hard, but his sweet spot rate, that is to say the basically your launch angle, you want that sweet spot, which where it's not a pop-up and it's not a ground ball. It's a line drives. He's hitting tons of those, and he's just not getting rewarded right now. And so you have to believe that some of those are going to start falling, and he's going to start racking up the extra base hits soon.
Yeah, and that's hopeful, and I think it's going to happen. Before we get out of here, because we will be doing a Thursday show, I do want to throw one number out there real quick before we get out of here. And first and foremost, thank you so much for watching or listening to us. And I should mention this now going forward, probably with the Thursday shows, with the show, Thursday shows being longer, we'll be splitting those up on the podcast side of things. So if you're a regular listener to the podcast, just to split it up a little bit, we've been experimenting with that, and it looks like it's been working pretty well. A lot of our listeners tend to listen to us, pause, and come back to us. So we're trying to do like 30, 45 minute podcasts. And if it goes longer, we'll split it, and it just makes things also easier for sharing content on YouTube as well. But the number five, and as a number of times the White Sox have been shut out this year, they've been outscored, ladies and gentlemen, 26-74. We are going to witness probably one of the worst teams since the 2003 Detroit Tigers. This is going to be a fun watch from the standpoint of just as an observer of baseball, what not to do with your franchise. You pass the buck to somebody you know in the front office. You don't do a search. And you basically, the most money you've ever spent was on a left fielder who's giving you negative war defensively. I like Andrew Benintendi. I thought he'd be, you know, just, but you go out and get clowned by Cincinnati 11-1, 5-0, and 11-4.
Ouch. Yeah, the run differential is minus -48, huh? Wow.
And you know, arguably their two most talented hitters are injured for a significant amount of time in Luis Robert and Yoan Moncada. You know, Moncada hasn't ever really lived up to the billing, but he's still a talented player. It's ugly there. They'll be picking near the top of the draft, I think.
Yeah, go ahead, Uber.
Well, I was going to say, the Tigers come in with a minus -2 run differential right now. Yeah. So Texas is at plus 14. So that's going to be interesting to see. I just wanted to break it with Reese Olson and Mize and Scooble against that Rangers lineup. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. And if you're a Marlins fan, just if you're case, you're wondering about the Marlins, they've given up 95 and they have a run differential of minus 35. But the Marlins are 3-13. And yeah, just for just the reason why I'm providing this contest is simple. For all the complaining I've seen about the Tigers, they're 9-6 and they're within, they're playing competitive baseball. You're not the Chicago White Sox, you're not the Miami Marlins, you're not the laughing stock. Just take some solace in that. And on that note, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Thursday with a series preview for the Twins. We'll recap the Rangers series, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good evening or afternoon, whatever you're doing.